What is the most important thing in life?
What are you talking about?
What's the most important thing?
Respect.
Too dependent on other people.
What, love?
A little Disneyland, isn't it?
God's will.
It's close.
What is it, then?
Necessity.
As in?
As in people do what is most necessary to them at any given moment.
All right. I'll be wearing fashionable Kevlar.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Friday, August 26, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your daily report as the woke counterculture defeats the evil of the core political tyranny. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal currently by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard, should you so choose to listen to it, on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa, as well as SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. And that includes rebroadcasting this broadcast, should you think that that's a really groovy thing to do. Or you can get in touch with Sumerian, and you can get Sumerian at info@rantradio.com. And once you're in touch with him, you can find out how to get other radio stations to, if you know another radio station who has already got, like, you know, wants to broadcast content, we're really cool with trying to get this out on as many radio stations as we can. So that's the general plan. So if you can help us distribute Newsreel to the masses, hey, that'd be great, because another independent voice is what the world needs. Now, I have got an absolute ocean of feedback to get through, so let's see if I can chew through all this stuff. Dear Sean, in Tuesday's show, you asked if it was okay for us to go in and shut down private Islamic schools. Well, what I said was I was wondering whether or not this was just an objective thing, you know, because there's a whole concept of the hate crime, right? Like, if it's a private school where they're doing private teachings, you know, I mean, does anybody have the right to go in there and tell them not to what they can and cannot teach? Otherwise, it's a thought crime. So what the short answer to this is no. It is not okay for us to go in and shut down private Islamic schools, according to the writer. If you do not believe in free speech for those you despise, however the quote goes, which is what Chomsky said, if you don't believe in free speech for those you despise, you don't believe in it for anyone, which is what, as the quote goes from Noam Chomsky. If it's a fully private school, then they can teach what they want. That said, though, there does need to be standards that are set. I see. I don't just mean for private schools. Any and all schools should have to meet the same standards about what is taught. Well, on one hand, you say that, no, we shouldn't go in there, but yet we're now talking about standards, which is nothing more than law. So we're actually saying what can and cannot be taught in private schools. For example, no school, public, private, or homeschooling, should be allowed to say, here's your vest, go blow up for God. If it's just a private school that's Islamic, that's okay. Well, the thing is, and now you're the one making the call on what's okay and what's not okay. Personally, I'm beginning to come to the conclusion that perhaps thought crimes are real things. You know, I'm maybe coming to the concept that maybe it's an idea for us to be aware of who's programming what. Because, you know, you take a child who doesn't know anything and you start imprinting this child with a program that enables it to, go out and kill itself and kill other people. Well, that's not really all that shit hot when you think about it. You know what I mean? It's like, if I was to go off and be spouting all this crap, you know, about, let's say I was a white supremacist, okay, and I'm talking about, you know, extolling the virtues of murdering people because they aren't white or some other nonsense, then does that make me a criminal or whatever, or should I be allowed to do that? And There's a school of thought that says, well, you know, if you don't believe in letting, you know, this guy do that, I think there should be counterpoint. You know what I mean? And when you have a private school, it's not really a school then. It's kind of a private sort of a brain fuck. You know what I mean? I mean, they'll send these kids into these weird schools where nobody knows what's being taught in there. So it's really up to the parents, isn't it? You know, I mean, if you send your children, your parents should be able to teach your child whatever they want. That's pretty much understood. A parent, you know, two people create a child, and therefore it is their child up until a certain age. And then you get into child rights, and it turns into a big ball of wax. So you got to, you know, at what point do children, are they able to determine what it is they can learn and can't learn and so on and so forth? But anyway, freedom of religion and all, but there does need to be some guidelines, which, you know, I can see the logic in that. But of course, when you start trying to apply the guidelines, the question then becomes who sets the guidelines and then what are those guidelines and go from there. So by that, maybe it's okay to monitor what's taught. But I don't mean security cameras in the classrooms, but that's the curriculum should be reviewed by someone before it's used. And that's just my 2 cents worth from Melchizedek. Now, there's a lot of stuff, you know, here where he says, well, you know, a little bit of control is good, but what's a little bit of control? And what's a little bit in control in relation to technology? Is that really a bad idea to have video cameras in schools? Because all you're doing is documenting what is happening. You're seeing the truth, right? I mean, the video camera captures what happens. And that's one of the things about the surveillance state, is that it means the death of all deception. If we had a surveillance state where, unlike what's happening in London, where there were cameras, and unlike what happened with the Oklahoma City bombing, where there was cameras, and they just don't release the tapes, now that's a problem. And that is should be, you know, a major investigation. There should be indictments, and we should find out why that is, because there's something not happening properly here. And people go, well, it's a matter of national security. Well, even more so that it should be out and released. And this is where, you know, the privacy issue kind of gets a little bit strange and things get a little bit blurry. Sean Mann, getting your pilot's license is not nearly as expensive as you might think, according to this one letter. A guy that I used to work with is in the process of getting his license in a place local right now. And according to him, it costs about $5,000, which I believe this is because he was only making about $13 an hour. It's going to take him a shitload of time, but when he's done, he will have a private pilot's license. He will need further training for a commercial license, of course, and, of course, lots of hours, because you need to have huge hours in order to get a job as a commercial pilot. So if a 22-year-old furniture-humping kid can get himself a flight license, the fucking man can, too. Keep up the good work. Sim, too. And that was from Digitus. So, Sim, you and I are supposed to go out and get flying licenses. But I don't know. Sim has driven with me in the car, as has, you know, Frank Ogden, and he was hanging on for dear life. So it's kind of a little bit frightening to consider me inside of an aircraft or some other type, Star Cruiser type thing. Mind you, I was watching that, there's that show that got canceled. Now they're coming out with a movie, and it was called Serenity. I just watched the pilot episode the other day. And other than the fact that there's this big alarming trend now in every single science fiction series where there's nothing but drama and romance and bullshit. You know, whatever happened to just killing aliens, you know? But I guess, you know, now that's all happening. But that said, there's a certain advantage. I mean, a plane is not a Star Cruiser, but it's a step in the right direction. Dear Sean, since your show is mostly into exposing things that just plain suck that are right under your nose, but no one really researches it, well, I've never really, that's a pretty good description of the show. I thought I'd fill you in case you weren't aware, inform you of a nasty little bit of stuff called amalgam. Now, that makes me think of amalgamate, right? But anyway, this is what the letter says. I'd have to get a little bit of a checksum on this. This could be a hoax. I don't know. Amalgam, it's an alloy of mercury. You know, the nasty, icky stuff that kind of, well, kills you if it doesn't turn you into an absolute nutcase. Now, I've only got the basics down so far, and I'm doing more looking into it, but according to my own experiments on the subject as to whether the alloy is safely removes any of the toxic portions, or if it just turns into a relatively speaking a slower liquid like glass. Glass is not a solid, an extremely slow liquid. Go to a house that hasn't had the glass changed in 40-plus years, and you'll notice a significant difference in the width in the top and the bottom of the glass. Basically, the experiment will be putting it under certain variables to see if the alloy itself will leak, if you will. It's kind of hard to break it down into more simple terms. I'm sure you get the basic idea of it. Not to say that you wouldn't understand, but you're working with a massive user base and loads of and Lord knows the demographics there. Yes, the Lord probably does, and he pities me. Anyhow, God bless his noodly appendage. Anyhow, just the thought that you would like to know, this stuff is out there. There is yet another problem with this, though. The most common place you'll find amalgam is used in dental fillings. Oh, my God. That's terrifying. Yeah, I want mercury in my mouth. That's right. Thanks for the good show, and all the IRC bullshit aside, I support Newsreel 99% of the time, so rock on to ya. Good on ya for good shows, as always. Enjoy and all that jazz. The one and only notorious, painfully loud, free-thinking bastard himself, Fenris. Well, you know, that's great, and I'm glad you sent that in, Fenris, because I didn't know anything about that. Maybe if there's a few people out there, probably a few dental technicians or maybe even a dentist who happens to be enlightened enough to listen to the show, it would be great to hear what he has to say about this amalgam stuff, or maybe we have some other data that we're not aware of, but definitely something that should be looked into. Dear Sean, aren't the Wogs kind of like the Vedalken from Magic the Gathering? Whoa, dude, I got out of Magic the Gathering after the black border cards disappeared. I made a bunch of playgrats, nobody wanted to play me anymore, and so that was it for me. What got me thinking of this was the storyline in one of the cards. Art is unknown to the Vedalken. For them, all creation must serve a purpose. Well, it could be argued that art serves a purpose in making your environment more enjoyable, which is what, you know, could be an interesting definition of art. Now, I know we value art. We're human, of course, but still, it does make me think of the Wogs, and that was from Nomad Nightfall Gemini, which is an interesting point. I mean, everyone's really, really keen to try to get the Wog thing nailed down. You know, everybody wants the Wogs to be this and Wogs to be that. But the minute you define the Wog, you know, sort of mindset, the Wog culture, the Wog world, the Wog movement, all that kind of stuff, you allow it to be a target. So it's best to keep the Wog movement very fluid, very adaptive. And that's what I would say Wogs are, is if we were going to go to the core of it, I'd say yes, it has a lot to do, definitely, it has huge amounts to do with engineering, about applying technology in your own life to make your life and your world better as you see fit, which means that there are good Wogs and evil Wogs, judging on, you know, point of view. And as well, you know, it could be also argued that, you know, being adaptable, alloy envoy cores from, you know, that book I was talking about, Altered Carbon, by Dick, what's his name, who I can't remember his last name, but Altered Carbon, check out the book. Read up on the Envoy Corps, and that would be, think of the Envoy Corps Engineer Corps, and that would be kind of what I would sort of want the Wog movement to kind of go in that direction, but hey, I could be wrong. Dear Sean, I did some thinking on the bottled water story. Now, this is a story where I was saying that, you know, if you take bottled water and you boil it, and there's little white bits floating in it after you let it cool down, and after hearing that another listener had tried it and found the white flakes. Having a bit of a chemistry background, I started thinking about the way that plastic is actually created. For most people who don't know this, plastic is a synthesized form of petroleum. Ooh. In case you've ever wondered, this is why it burns so damn well. Anyway, I decided that the most likely cause of the extraneous matter would be from the art of recycling, from the act of recycling the bottle. Not the water or the formation of the bottle of the cell. Since bottled waters are almost uniformly made of post-consumer recycled material, then it would stand to reason that a certain amount of debris would be in the product. I did a brief Google search and under my theory for bottled water recycling. And there's lots of articles that claim the World Wildlife Fund stated that the bottled water is no safer than tap water. I decided to check the APYR myself to verify there was a story about this. I did find the record. I did find record of the Associated Press releasing articles on this matter. So there it is, Alien Binary. Well, thank you, Alien Binary, chief editor, founder, and general god of Pain Magazine. Of course, he's not alone out there. He's just, you know, the guy who founded the whole thing. And there's lots of other people, including Capone X and a whole crew of other guys who have been very, very involved with that mag. And if you haven't read Pain Magazine, make sure you go check it out because it's free, it's for you, and it's the official, I believe it's the official magazine of Rant Radio. I could be wrong. But if not, well, we're definitely very close and we get together and have parties all the time. Dear Sean, I got a few ideas for the kid from the Sort Yourself Out from Wednesday's show. This would be this Wednesday, this is just passed. First, this is the guy who was trying to get tests to figure out what he was doing with what he's going to do with his life. First, I would highly suggest he takes two tests and get himself an HSED instead of the GED. It's only two more tests, and it's much more valuable, as many colleges will not accept someone with a GED And I believe the same with the military. Well, I bet you right now, if you got a GED, they'll take you because they're screaming for people. With the military thing, he could get training from a guard or reserve unit and may not have to leave for years just for training. Now that's very clever, too. It's always good to go into a reserve unit or a militia unit first just to get a taste of it so you know what you're about. That's very valuable advice. Just a few ideas. Maybe send them off to him or something. I don't know. From Ascartus. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, a lot of people, I've got some interesting mail about people's like, Sean, I can't believe you told this kid to join the army, a blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Well, all I'm saying is, a bad plan today is better than a good plan tomorrow. The kid came to me seeking options. I laid out some options, and he can go from there. A lot of people don't like some of the advice I give out, but the advice I give out gets results. And like I said, a bad plan today is better than a good plan tomorrow. Now, dear Sean, at the end of your show for Wednesday, 08-2405, in the rave story, you seem to be operating under a false assumption. You repeatedly asked why the soldiers, not the police. Yeah, well, when you look at the video, I mean, it looks pretty apparent that they're soldiers. In point of fact, it was the police, not the Army National Guard, that attacked the partygoers. Now, this is interesting. I did not know that. Because, well, when you watch the video, you'd be pretty apparent that, you know, it looks an awful lot like, the Army. These were the Utah County Sheriff's officers in full combat gear, at least according to the accounts given by the people who were there and who were subsequently interviewed by CNN. Now, again, when you watch the video, yeah, I'd say that they're definitely in combat gear. They had face masks and full combat webbing on and M16s and shit. So, well, not M16s, probably had AR-15s. But anyway. Also, it seems that there was no complaint or call made to the authorities, which is why I said, why did they do this? But rather, it was suspected that drugs were being used. And that prompted the sheriff's department into action. Our local cops have taken to wearing combat jumpsuits and webbing on routine patrol. The police state is here, and I, for one, want out. Great show, as always. Just wanted to clarify this one point. Now, that is really too bad. You know, a lot of people think that I've got this huge, you know, fetish for people. And that was from Tholidor, by the way. And a lot of people think that I've got, you know, this ultimate, you know, cops can do no wrong kind of thing. And that, for nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, when you're talking about the use of force, this is something that needs to be very, very carefully monitored. I mean, when those cops shot that guy who was selling weed, you know, I still think they should have went to his work and just picked him up. You know what I mean? If there's a rave there, you don't go walking in there with choppers and gun dogs. Why don't you send in some officers first and go, hey, is there drugs here or not? And if there are drugs there, you find the people who are selling the drugs and you remove them. I mean, this is an event. There's kids there. And of course, this wasn't really about suspected drug use. What it was trying to communicate to the young people in the region that we don't like these kind of raves in Utah and we don't particularly care for this kind of action, and so we're going to put the run on them. And that's exactly what this was. That is horrific. It is totally obscene that that happened. And don't ever think for a minute that I condone that action. I mean, when the first story came out, I'm sitting here going, it made no sense to me. Like, at first I thought it was the military. Why would the military go, even National Guard, whatever, go walking into a rave scene and just start attacking people? You know, like, as a police officer, if you got the order down, okay, we're going to go in here and start attacking kids, you kind of be like, why are we doing that? You know what I mean? These cops, you know, they have a brain in their head, too. You know, they're able to say, whoa, hang on, you know, and I bet you this is going to be interesting to see how this develops. Maybe it'll get swept under the rug, but maybe we might have a few people come forward and try to explain maybe hang some people for it, because this is ridiculous. And I in no way condone that activity. That is absolute crap. It's abuse and it's bullying. And unfortunately, it's important that we have enforcement. We have to have law enforcement. Otherwise, you have anarchy. And I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Anarchy does not work, because you get the guys with the warlord states start emerging, and then we go back to this crazy, you know, structure of like a warlord type society that they've got in every other part of the world. So there has to be some sort of authoritarian control to some level, but I would sit there and wonder if these kids were there and they're going to go and they're going to use drugs at this rave. You know, there was no deaths. There was no, like, why did this occur? Why is there such a huge lockdown? And I think the reason for that is yet, you know, more of this bullshit war on drugs, which is occurring, you know, especially over relatively minor substances, you know, like weed and whatnot. And it can be argued up and down whether or not ecstasy falls into that category. I don't know enough about the drug to make a call, but, you know, Definitely, definitely. What would happen in Utah at that rave, I am absolutely 100% opposed to that. That was absolutely fucking horrible. And it was just, that wasn't tactical. That wasn't critically designed. That was just poor enforcement as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, somebody should be fired. A lot of people should be fired because of that. That's where the concept, people go, you know, soldiers, they just obey orders. Well, that's great if you're some left-wing whiner, you know, who can't really, you know, think too much for yourself. But there's also the concept of a lawful command. And before you go ripping up and down saying that, you know, all cops are just mindless automatons and so are soldiers and everything, you need to do a little bit of research into the concept of lawful and unlawful commands, because that is something that can be, you know, stopped. You know, you can stop, you know, the burning of a village and murder of children if you decide not to follow lawful, or if you deem it to be an unlawful command. So just do a little bit of research on that, and then maybe you should come talk to me about, you know, your various bullshit. Thanks. Now, on to the news from Booster News, sent in by Bland Inquisitor. A drug dubbed CX-717. Now, this is kind of a scary story, and I think I touched on this before. Made by Cortex Pharmaceuticals in Irvine, California, reverses the biological and behavioral effects of sleep deprivation, according to results of animal studies. Now, I could see these being used by bosses and supervisors in work parties, and that scares me a little bit. In the article, in the research journal PLOS Biology, Dr. Sam A. Deadweiler and his associate proposed that CX-717 would particularly benefit individuals affected by extended work hours or night shifts. Oh, isn't that nice? To test this possibility, they taught monkeys to perform delayed match-to-sample task, in which they're presented with a single image on a computer screen, then would use a cursor to identify that image in a group of several different images. During the normal alert conditions, performance accuracy of the animals was improved from an average of 75 to 90% after an injection of CX-717. The drug also shortened response time, suggesting that CX-717 also facilitated attentional processors related to the speed of response of successful trials. It's interesting, this huge interest in cognitive enhancement, eh? When the monkeys were subjected to 30 to 36 hours of sleep deprivation, the average performance accuracy dropped to 63%, which was restored to 84% after the CX-717 treatment. The distinct shift in EEG recordings and the changes in brain scans following sleep deprivation were also reversed by drug treatment. The fact that compounds like CX-717 can temporarily alleviate the effects of prolonged periods of sleep deprivation indicates potential applicability to many circumstances in which humans' performance is compromised by extensive sleep loss. We're talking about truckers, we're talking about pilots, we're talking about workers, we're talking about people being forced to work longer so that they don't have to sleep, and that's very dangerous to me. Sleep is one of those things that they're not really sure why we do it, and I'm not really into pumping foreign drugs into my system just to stimulate myself awake. God only knows what kind of permanent and irreversible damage that could do to the mind. They add that these new agents may be preferable to psychostimulants, caffeine, or other relatively new anti-sleepiness drug, Provigil, because they may be limited due to their potential for addiction and or their potential stimulant actions, which can distort cognitive and sensory process at doses required to counteract the effects of sleep deprivation. Which, I mean, that just sounds like a pharmaceutical company trying to push their product. This whole thing seems like an ad for a scary product. But be on your lookout for CX-717, and I'd like to see what the trade name they're going to come up with this thing is, so that I will know to tell you, so that you can make a decision on whether or not you want to stay the fuck away from it, as I would counsel. Now, into extremist news. You gotta like this. The extremists are everywhere. They're everywhere, these extremists. I'm an extremist, you're an extremist, everyone is an extremist. And this was sent to me by HBAR. Conservative leadership hopeful. This is the conservative leadership hopeful in England. David Cameron has likened Islamist extremists to Nazis and has warned that failing to confront them will be fatal. So we have to hunt down and destroy Islamic, you know, extremists, according to this guy. The shadow education secretary says, that's what he says, shadow education secretary says, the rise of Hitler showed that the willingness to give ground and avoid confrontation was seen as a weakness. In a foreign policy center speech, he also said that more needs to be done to ensure all Britons can speak English. Mosques should be regulated to tackle extremists, Mr. Cameron said. Other measures he has urged include the dedicated border police force for 24-hour security at major ports. He argued that schools which receive government funding should teach in English. He also said that Britain should withdraw entirely from international human rights conventions if they prevent the deportation of Islamic radicals. And he warned a strain of Islamic thinking had developed, which, like Nazism and communism, offers redemption through violence. Just like the Nazis of the 1930s, Germany, they want to purge corrupt cosmopolitan influence, he said. That's very interesting. I mean, when you consider how many movements have considered using violence to get rid of corrupt cosmopolitan influences. But those remarks prompted criticism from the Islamic Human Rights Commission for such a comment to be made against any community as outrageous. But even more so when those labeled are the greatest victims of Nazi-style oppression today, the IHRC said. Now, this is a really interesting story because we're talking about, you know, they're thinking this is a religious thing, but it's not a religious thing. This is a cultural thing. Now, the one thing about Islam, which I find interesting, which is different from just about any other religion I've ever seen, even the most psycho, you know, mudhut nutbar Christian is going to be praying, you know, once, twice a day, you know, at meals, things like that. And, you know, they do it on their own. You know, occasionally they go to churches on Sundays and all this kind of jazz. Now, the thing is, though, Islamic people, Muslims, okay, they pray to Mecca five times a day, okay? That's not a religion, that's a lifestyle, okay? Like, I'm sorry, that's kind of what that is. And let's, you notice that nobody's actually cracked open the books? Nobody looks at exactly what the religion teaches. Any religion that teaches that the followers of that religion are God's chosen people, and everybody else sucks and should be destroyed or is in some way lesser beings. You know, they'll give them names like Wogs, Gentiles, you know, the great unwashed, pagans, anything like that. Any religion that teaches that, that says that, you know, people who don't follow religion are lesser in some way, then yeah, actually, they are like Nazis because the Nazis believed in, just as there was the chosen ones, they called their chosen ones Aryans, and on it goes. So we're getting very dangerously close. This is not racism. This is cultural bias. And very soon, I think we're going to see a cultural war if we're not already involved in it. And speaking of war, now here's a cold play. In grave marker news from Oprah's, sent me this to me. Unlike earlier wars, nearly all Arlington National Cemetery gravestones for troops killed in Iraq or Afghanistan are inscribed with a slogan-like operation names the Pentagon selected to promote public support for the conflicts. Now, this is an interesting, this story is very, very slanted. Families of the fallen soldiers and Marines are being told that they have the option, so they're given a choice, to have the government-furnished headstones engraved with the Operation Enduring Freedom or Operation Iraqi Freedom at no extra charge, whether they're buried in Arlington or elsewhere. A markup shown to many families includes the operation names. Now, I would not call this a power play move. I would say that this has been done so that it's like battle honors. You know what I mean? I don't think this is some slogan. That's ridiculous to call that a slogan. I mean, if it's the name of the operation, of course the operations have like Iraqi freedom and stuff like that. So they're very, you know, pro-military names of the military operations, which shouldn't serve as any surprise. But if the family wants, you know, their son's name when people walk through to see what the kid was involved in, what he died for, essentially, I think they should have that option. And I think it's not a bad thing. I think it's probably kind of nice for the military to give them that option. They're not saying they have to do this. You know, it's just an option. The vast majority of military gravestones from other eras inscribed with just the basics, required information, name, rank, military branch, date of death, and applicable, the war and foreign country in which the person served. Oh, the war and foreign country in which the person served. But, oh, I see. So, really, there's no difference here at all. Families are supposed to have final approval on what goes on the tombstones. That hasn't always happened. Apparently, Nadia and Robert McCaffrey, whose son Patrick was killed in Iraq of June 2004, said Operation Iraqi Freedom ended up on his government-supplied headstone in Oceanside, California, without family approval. Okay. You know, I guess somebody dropped the ball. I was taken aback, said Robert McCaffrey, describing his reaction when he first saw the operation name on Patrick's tombstone. They certainly didn't ask my wife, and they didn't ask me, he said. Patrick's widow told him she had not been asked either. He said Patrick's widow, this is the wife of the guy who, you know, wound up getting dead, hadn't been asked about it either. In one way, I feel it's taking advantage to a small degree. Patrick did not want to be there. That is a definite fact. Well, okay, you know, that's handy. The owner of the company said he's been making gravestones for Arlington and other national cemeteries for nearly two decades. Is uncomfortable, too. It just seems a little brazen to put on the gravestone, said Jeff Marshall, owner of Granite Industries of Vermont. It might be connected to politics. Well, imagine that, soldiers' graves connected to politics. The Department of Veterans Affairs says it isn't. The headstone is not a PR purpose. It's to let the country know that the people that visit the cemetery know who served this country, made the country free for us, the VA official Steve Murrow said. Now, this is an interesting story because I think this is the left trying to look under rocks to find, you know, demons lurking anywhere. Clearly, if there was a mistake made and they want that removed from the headstone, then somebody should just go in there and say, fine, you know what, we'll replace the headstone. Sorry for the trouble. You know, we'll just do that. You know, sorry about that. Big problem there. It wasn't cleared. We didn't go through the right channels. Clearly, it states that it is an option. These people were not contacted. You know, I guess mistakes get made. So you can either claim that the whole thing is, you know, this huge core political demon trying to, you know, enslave people. No, I don't think so. I think there's bigger fish to fry than worrying about, you know, something like this that is a non-event when you really look at it and consider everything. It's like, what the fuck is this? This is ridiculous that they're even considering this to be some kind of a political power play. It's dumb. Now, in VR news. Now, listen to this one. This is something else. The Chinese government unveiled a new system Tuesday to prevent individuals from playing online games for more than three consecutive hours, which must be installed for every online game in the country. Wow, this is how far it could go, eh? This timing mechanism can prevent young people from becoming addicted to online games. No, they just log off and log back on again after 3 hours. It's ridiculous. Ku Zawi, deputy director of the Audiovisual and Internet Publication Department of the General Administration of Press and Publication, holy crap, there's a title, said during a press conference. The new system, developed under the guidance of the GAP, that's what they actually call it, stops individuals from playing online games for more than 3 hours by cutting abilities of game characters. The new system cuts the ability of the level of a player's online game character by half. He or she is playing for more than three consecutive hours. Once a player has played for more than five consecutive hours, the system cuts the ability level of that player's character to the lowest level allowed by the game. The system also lowers the ability of players to find treasure or prizes available in an online game after they have played for more than three consecutive hours. Furthermore, the system keeps tracks of hours of play. Individuals who immediately log back onto the game after 3 hours of consecutive play will continue to have the ability of their game characters lowered by the system. Players must be logged off for a minimum of 5 hours before the system resets. Wow! That's pretty intense. You know, I guess so much for free choice. You know, you don't have the right to your own virtual worlds, I guess, according to that's what's going on in China. That's pretty messed up. The Gap has definitely played online games for less than three consecutive hours as healthy, planning 3 to 5 hours as tiring, and playing for more than 5 hours consecutive hours as unhealthy. So if you game for more than 5 hours in China, you're obviously a screaming psychopath. Now, in fuel cell news. Now, this is a good piece of tech story. Glad to see we got some actual tech happening in the world today. Jedi Master Laborn sent this in to me. Ultracell Corporation announced a new fuel cell power source for portable electronic devices that has twice the energy density of lithium batteries. Ultracell's reformed methanol fuel cell, RFMC, technology uses a micro-reformer to generate fuel cell-ready hydrogen from a highly concentrated methane solution. Now, again, I would wonder, is this actually, you know, a viable? Is this just a trick? Or is there, you know, what is the energy output based upon how much energy is needed to create the energy? According to the companies, this new portable power system has the power density of a hydrogen fuel cell, but is readily available. A low-cost methanol fuel is convenient, compact package. Weighing about 40 ounces, the power unit is about the size of a paperback novel. This new technology has already been developed by the Ultracell as a prototype for the military. This original system, in the picture here, it's called the XX90, was designed for up to 45 watts of continuous power. Subsequently, the United States Army's Communications Electronics Research Development and Engineering Center, CERDEC, awarded Ultracells a contract to accelerate its development for a more compact portable system to run at 25 watts. The next power source being developed for commercial use was the Ultracell 25 and will be available in 2006 for professional, industrial, and mobile computing applications. Its name for the military will be the XX25. So that's something to look at. Any of you guys working in the QM, maybe you can have one of those fall off the truck. Ultracell's microreformer technology is designed to work in a user-friendly package that, with the push of a power button, self-starts and feeds the power as needed. The fuel canisters can be instantly hot-swapped as needed to provide continuous power to in any remote situation. The system can even support batteries by serving as a portable recharging power supply. The complete Ultracell system includes a fuel processor, fuel cell stack, control system, balance of plant, and easily replaceable fuel cartridge. The control system manages a steady flow of power by adjusting the pump and compressor settings. Sounds pretty complicated, but it definitely sounds very, very neat. Now, I got a toxic alert story for you. This is kind of scary, about NSAIDs. Now, we've talked about NSAIDs before, and Ascarta sent this in. Approximately one-third of all hospitalizations and deaths related to gastrointestinal bleeding can be attributed to the use of aspirin or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agents. Very frightening. NSAIDs, painkillers like ibuprofen, a study in Spain suggests. Interesting how this study comes out of Spain. We're not hearing about it in the Western world here. Moreover, up to one-third of these painkiller-related incidents may be due to low-dose aspirin. Dr. Angel Lanas, a university hospital in Zaragoza, and his associates evaluated data from 26 Spanish hospitals on hospitalizations related to peptic ulcer disease or complications such as bleeding or perforation, as well as drug use during the month prior to hospitalization. They report their findings to the American Journal of Gastroenterology, who will have consequently squash this because they're in the back pocket of the pharma fascist regime. A total of 8,010 serious gastrointestinal bleeding events were reported. Among these, the mortality rate was 5.7%. So, not that high, but still significant. The authors report that the proportion of complications and deaths attributed to NSAID and aspirin was 36.3%. They also note that nearly 90% of the deaths occurred in patients older than 60 years of age. Interesting. To extrapolate the impact of aspirin and NSAID use on the general population of Spain, Lana's group obtained data from 197 hospitals representing all the hospitals in the Spanish national health system. Their results suggest that the death rate resulting from NSAID or aspirin-related gastrointestinal complications was between 21 and 25 cases per million inhabitants. That translates to about 15 such deaths for every 100,000 users of aspirin or NSAID. Interesting. And I would like to draw your attention. Right now, I'll have you know, I don't take any aspirin. I don't agree with it. I don't like to take generally medication, you know, at all. I don't know why. Just never really have. And, you know, maybe I'm crazy. But it seems to me that I don't really like, you know, I kind of go with the Nancy Reagan approach. You know, just say no. That's sort of the way I look at it. Now, in wireless rights news. Now, this is an interesting website here. MyWireless.org apparently is a nonprofit advocacy organization giving wireless consumers a clear and powerful voice to protect the freedom, volume, security, and mobility they enjoy with their wireless services. MyWireless.org is dedicated to wireless freedom in a world where powerful forces are trying to shackle that freedom with harmful regulations and heavy taxes. Millions of consumers are taking advantage of wireless technology every day, and it becomes an increasingly more part of our lives. Wireless technology enriches, inspires, connects, and even saves lives. We've just begun to see what is possible. The future of wireless promises even more as entertainment, communication speed, and functionality coverage. But today, harmful regulations and heavy taxes are threatening our wireless future. Although millions of consumers rely on wireless services, unnecessary regulations and excessive taxes threaten to make wireless less acceptable, less affordable, and less innovative. MyWireless.org brings the consumers together to protect their rights and to keep them connected to ensure that their voices are, in fact, heard. I don't know whether or not that's going to actually do any good, but, you know, it's definitely something we may wish to check out, and maybe, just maybe, that will provide a method. But I wouldn't want to be called an extremist now just because, you know, you happen to start talking about your wireless rights, you might get labeled an extremist. And we all know that extremism and terrorism go hand in hand, after all. Now, in drug war news, sent in by Ronan Sariad, British paratroopers, the paras, are sent in to battle heroin warlords in Afghanistan. I didn't know about this. I don't know if you heard about this. But according to reports, a 2,500-man force will be deploying into the country's troubled Hemland province. The official aim of NATO mission, it's a NATO mission, not a UN peacekeeping mission, is to bring law and order to the area. So they're sending in the Brit paras to lock down the drug region of Afghanistan. But troops are expected to take control of numerous opium poppy fields until they can be destroyed. The Southwest province, dubbed Mad Max Land because of its similarities to the Mel Gibson film, exports 95% of all the heroin sold in Britain. So, you know. As well as drug warlords, Hemland is also home to thousands of Taliban loyalists and Al-Qaeda fighters. The paratroopers, many of whom already fought in Iraq, are expected to start arriving in Afghanistan around Christmas with full deployment in April. This is going to be a nasty, bloody fight over there. A NATO source told the Sun newspaper there will be a lot of opposition to their presence from the billions of pounds vested interest tied up in the drugs trade. Yeah, which is true. I mean, there's a lot of money there. The opium warlords and Taliban are certain to work together to go on the attack against the Brit paras. Now, this is going to be really bad for the paras, and I hope that those guys know what they're in for. The flow of heroin from Afghanistan has increased after the Taliban regime, which banned poppy cultivation under penalty of death, was removed. I see. So now, I mean, realistically, what do they have in Afghanistan? They're trying to make money from drugs, which, you know, I mean, every culture has done that, and, you know, that's what they're choosing to do. But, of course, we're not going to be able to allow that because heroin is a really nasty drug, and since 95% of all heroin sold in Britain comes from Afghanistan, it's sort of a no-brainer that they're going to send people in there to take control of that region. You know, that's just kind of the way the world is. Now, in bioweapon news, this is a disturbing trend, and I'd like to see where this is going to go. Lions may soon be unleashed in the bandit badlands of central India, with police hoping the animals may improve the law and order situation. This is intense. The government of Uttar Pradesh state wants to set up a 371-acre lion safari park with five cats in the bandit-ridden area. And only five cats for a 371-acre area? I mean, I guess that's, you know, pretty good, I suppose. This is the Chambal Ravines. Police hope they may keep the bandits away. No, actually, they hope that the lions will eat the bandits. There have been about 4,000 kidnappings and 180 murders in that area in the last 5 years. Not that the lions will be chasing the bandits, but the area will soon have a lot of movement by tourists and officials and will be lit up brightly. This will force the Dakotas to feel, or the Dakotas, I guess the name of their, you know, bandits, to flee to safer hideouts, a senior police official for the Daljit Singh Chaudhary says. Uttar Pradesh chief wildlife official Mohammed Hassan said it has contacted Indian Zoological Park for the first five Asiatic lions between 4 and 5 years age to launch the park. The park will be fenced and the lions will be fed with 10 kilograms to 14 grams of buffalo meat once a day. Though there is a good forest to cover the area, there's no animals the lions can hunt for food, says Mr. Hassan. Well, I wonder if this is really going to be making a park or if, in fact, this is just deploying attack lions. Because five lions in a 371-acre area seems a little bit, you know, small, I would say. And I also can't really see how 371 acres, you know, really makes a huge difference. I don't really understand that, but, you know, whatever. And in border war news, now this is an interesting story sent in by Fat Ninja. An Arizona ranch, once owned by a member of an armed group accused now of terrorizing illegal immigrants, has been turned over to two of the very people the owner had tried to keep out of the country. So let's look at this from a completely, you know, third-person perspective. I'm Canadian, so I'm not American and I'm not Mexican. So we'll see how this goes here. The land transfer is being done to satisfy a judgment against Casey Nethercott, a member of a self-styled border watch group, who is serving a five-year prison term for firearms possession. Which seems kind of funny because isn't there a, you know, kind of a right to bear arms or something? Anyway, Morris Dees Jr. Chief Trial Counsel of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which represents the immigrants, said he hoped the ruling would be a cautionary tale to anyone considering hostile measures against border crossers. Border crossers. Can someone please, and this isn't meant to be like any kind of a facetious or racist statement. What's the difference between a border crosser and an invader? Just, if someone could please tell me that. When we got to this case, ranchers all along the borders were allowing these types to come on their property, said Dees. Now they're very leery of it, especially when they see someone losing their ranch because of this. The ruling comes as the governors of Arizona and New Mexico declare states of emergency in their border countries, moves to designate to free up money for enforcement while drawing more national attention to the problems of illegal immigration. I wonder now if this is at all tied to that border watch group that we were talking about before, you know, where they were, the Border Patrol is clearly not doing their job. And they don't care that, you know, immigrants are illegally coming into the country because it provides slave wages. You know, that's what this is about. Again, is it's about money. Nethercott was a member of the group Ranch Rescue, okay, which works to protect private property along the southern U.S. border. In March 2003, he was accused of pistol whipping Edwin Alfredo Mancia Gonzalez, 26, at Hebronville, Texas Ranch near the Mexico border. Okay. A jury deadlocked on the assault charge, but convicted him of being a felon in possession of a firearm. Okay, so he didn't get convicted for the assault charge, but he was considered to be bad because of the firearm. Mancia and another immigrant traveling with him from El Salvador, Fatima del Sorco Levia Medina, filed a civil lawsuit last year saying they were harmed while being held at the ranch by the ranch rescue members. Named in the suit were Nethercott, Jack Foote, and the founder of Ranch Rescue, and the owners of the Hebronville Ranch, Joe and Betty Sutton. The Sutton settled for $100,000. Nethercott and Foote did not defend themselves. A Texas judge issued a default judgment in April of $850,000 against Nethercott and $500,000 against Foote. Nethercott transferred ownership of his 70-acre Douglas Ranch to his sister, but the sister gave up ownership to settle the judgment when challenged by the immigrants' lawyers. The transfer of the ranch outraged Border Watch groups. Now, this is a very dangerous situation here. On one hand, I can see why, you know, people who are immigrants want to come to America so that they could, you know, live a better life and all that good stuff. And if I lived in one of those countries, I would try to do that as well. You know what I mean? And if you can sneak across the border, roll your dice, you know, take your chances and see if you can make it in, well, more power to you. But as you got people along the borders there getting very angry with what they're considering to be invaders and could be argued that they are invaders, this is going to lead to gunplay. So what we need to have here, this is a classic example of why law enforcement and military are so incredibly important. Ranchers should not be running lynch mobs up and down the border. And they won't run lynch mobs up and down the border if they have effective border patrol. Rather than have effective border patrol, though, we've got this sham which is allowing, you know, illegal slave labor to come into the country because corporate politicals make their money. So the solution to this problem is to just do your job and lock down the border because you've already admitted that these people are illegal. They shouldn't be in the country. You see what I mean? So just get them out of the country. Thanks for coming out. And if you have law enforcement and military do it, these people should be treated in a much more, well, a much safer manner than having a bunch of, you know, wild-eyed, hick, drunk, you know, ranchers running around with 12 gauges. Nothing against the ranchers. I understand what their frustrations are. But this is just a classic example of why the military and law enforcement should be brought out of Iraq. Fuck this entire desert war. Get out of there and start doing their job at home. Now let's get into today's Daily Hack. I've got the Ripoff Report for you. Now this is a great site. If you're a victim of a consumer ripoff, you want justice, the Ripoff Report, trademark, is a worldwide consumer reporting website and publication by consumers for consumers to file and document complaints about companies or individuals who rip off consumers. Unlike the Better Business Bureau, badbusinessbureau.com/ripoffreport does not hide reports of satisfied complaints. All complaints remained public in order to create a working history to the company or individuals questioned unedited. So whatever they say, that's what goes up on the site. And I think that that's a very good thing because it shows, in all honesty, what the policies are. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back on Monday with Sumerian to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to donate in a time of crisis. And there is 71 people for the month of July with 5 new people showing up. Just slightly less than 2% of my listener base. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Digital baptisms today. AP's Xbox crew is now called the Fibua Junkies, meaning fighting in built-up areas. And Secret Name, who you know who you are, is now known as Data Maggot. And thanks to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Mindless Self-Indulgence called Tight. I'm going to leave you now with a great KMFDM track called Dogma. So until Monday, that's what Server said. End of line.
What is a head rush? All we want is to get out of our skin for a while. We have nothing to lose because we don't have anything. Anything we want, anyway. We used to hate people. Now we just make fun of them. It's more effective that way. We don't live, we just scratch on day to day with nothing but matchbooks and sarcasm in our pockets, and all we're waiting for is for something worth waiting for. Let's admit America gets the celebrities we deserve. Let's not say don't quote me, because if no one quotes you, you probably haven't said a thing worth saying. We need something to kill the pain of all that nothing inside. Just wanna die a little bit. We fear that pop culture is the only kind of culture we're ever gonna have. We wanna stop reading magazines, stop watching TV, stop caring about Hollywood, but we're addicted to the things we hate. We don't run Washington, and no one really does. Ask not what you can do for your country. Ask what your country did to you. The only reason you're still alive is because someone has decided to let you live. So much money, we're not broke, we're broken, we're so poor we can't even pay attention. So what do you want? You want to be famous and rich and happy, but you're terrified you have nothing to offer this world, nothing to say and no way to say it, but you can say it in 3 languages. You are more than the sum of what you consume. Desire is not an occupation. You are ultimately thrilled and desperate, sky high and fucked. Let's stop praying for someone to save us and start saving ourselves. Let's stop this and start over. Let's go out. Let's keep going. This is your life. This is your fucking life. Something to kill the pain of all that nothing inside. Quit whining, you haven't done anything yet.